But that's the Gemara. The Gemara writes again, the Rav Yochanan Zakkai, Kishachar Rav Yochanan Zakkai, Nichnasu Talmidim Levakro. When his Talmidim came in, Rav Yochanan Zakkai was sick, dying, his death, but his Talmidim came to visit him, came Chero, some his chil of coat. When he saw them, he began to cry. Amrulo Talmidav Ner Yisrael, Amr Hayami Patish HaChazak, the fire candle of Yisrael, the pillar, the right pillar, the strong hammer. Exactly why these comments are made is a good question. There probably is more depth for them than just a bunch of synonymous, you know, terminology for you're very chashuv. If not, if ne mata bocha, why are you crying? The Talmid Mesa of Yochanan Zakkai, Amr Lehem, Iru with ne melech bas redam, hayu malichin osi shehayom kanu machar bekavrishim koes alayah. Ain kaso kas olam vim osreni ain isuro isrolam vim imateni ain misasa misasolam vadi yachal afaisa b'dvarim l'shachal v'mam anach apichin eiti boche. If I were to be brought in front of a king of human flesh, of meat and flesh, a human king, nebas v'dam, and if he would get upset, it would be temporary. If you put me in jail, incarcerate me, it'd be temporary. If you would tell me, it'd still only be death from this world. And I would have the opportunity, I could be mephias him, I could bribe him potentially, I would cry. V'achshav shemolichin osu, if they melt machim lacham HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they bring before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shuchai v'kayim l'olam u'mei olamim, who is eternal. Shimkoe salai kaso kasolam, his anger is eternal, his wrath is eternal, vimasreni isuro isurolam, if he incarcerates me, that's eternal. Vimasaini misasa misa so if he kills me, it's an eternal death. Vaini yachal afaisa vidvarim, I cannot be mafaisim with words after I'm dead. Velo l'shachtimam, I can't bribe him. Velo od elish, that's pshat number one, he said. I'm going to encounter a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's just an awe-inspiring, overwhelmingly powerful event that caused Yochanan Zakkai to cry. There are hashkafic questions to be asked over here, philosophical questions. One goes to hell, is he there forever? If God gets angry, is he really there forever? Is it literally true, or is it just a mashal? That's a discussion. We've shown many before, I believe hell is not forever. It's not the Christian version. It's 12 months at max, or whatever it is. And she just put that aside for now. Below Oud said Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Elish Yesh Lefana Shnei Drachim, there are two paths in front of me. I'm at a fork in the road. Achashal Ganeid and Achashal Gehenim. Furthermore, one's a heavenly path and one's a Gehenim. Ve'en yodeh be'ezim olichen osi. Below Efka, I have no idea where they're taking me. There's a major question that Mepharshim have as to whether or not Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai really thought he may be going down to hell. Was that really an option? Did he really think that? There are those who say no, but he was trying to teach his Talmidim humility. Soloveitchik has a well-known, beautiful vart that Itaka was afraid because based upon a Gemara in Masechet Gittin, Nun Hei, Nun Vav area, those are guys who are already up to that daf. And remember the Gemara of Vespasian says Rav Yochanan, and Zakkai, after Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai says, you're going to be the next Melech, and Vespasian says, I should kill you for saying that, and all of a sudden a Shliach walks in and says, no, Yitaka are the next Melech. Vespasian was so impressed, so taken aback by Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, he granted him wishes, and Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai asks for three requests. What they are is a topic for a different discussion, but he doesn't ask for the Beis Hamikdash to be spared. And it could be said by Soloveitchik, he took that question with him to the grave. That question was so heavy on his shoulders, ad yom moso, he wondered if he made the right decision or not. Should he have asked for the Beis Hamikdash to be spared? Interesting topic, interesting question, interesting havart, interesting drash, interesting hashkafic point, but not for now. Amar lo Rabbeinu Barchenu, his Talmidim said him, give us a bracha. Amar lehem yiratzon shetehem more shemayim alecha kemara basa v'dam. You should have the awe and fear, Yira Shemaim, the same way you fear your friends. Amru lo Talmidim, I can. That's it. That's the bracha. Our Rebbe's on our deathbed. We ask him for a bracha, and he tells us, yeah, you should have as much fear of Hashem as you do your friends. Talmidim are somewhat disappointed. Amru lehem, Ulevai teduke shadmov ravera omer shelo yireni adam. Halavai, you should have that much fear, because everyone's afraid to do averus in front of people. But in front of a guy, people are much less fearful. A lot to be discussed on this Gemara, but this last Nakuda, the give and take I thought was fascinating. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai gives him a piece of Musar, the bracha, so to speak, that they should fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They feel their friends and they're disappointed. They want more. And in addition to the obvious message that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is teaching his Talmidim, that's human nature. Be fearful of man. It's natural. It's common for us to fear what our peers think of us, to worry about our reputation in their eyes, and even to prioritize it over Kadosh Baruch Hu's. There's a second hidden message in Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's statement that I wanted to focus in upon, to dwell upon. Because it could be one of the major mistakes that Talmidim were making is looking for great spiritual guidance, passing over the basics. Very often you find people, when they see themselves as spiritually uplifted, spiritually progressive, doing well, moving forward, accomplished. If I believe in this, I wouldn't sin. If I believe this, I'm doing well. People sometimes forget they have a very simple Yetzer. And it could be Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai's point was a very, very simple. Leaving behind profound psychological analysis, leaving behind profound, deep Torah that he must have taught them all his life, a very simple point of Yochanan ben Zakkai was making. We all have a Yetzer Hara. Just try your best to beat that guy. There's a story told of Rav Baruch Ber. Rav Baruch Ber, he had a daughter who was engaged to one of his close Talmidim. And the daughter and the Talmud ended up developing some type of strife. And his Talmud broke up with the daughter, breaking her heart, crushing her. She was crying, sad, disappointed. Rav Baruch Ber continued teaching Torah day on, day after day, trying his best to not be bothered by his daughter's pain. And lo and behold, ironically, or whatever it is, this exact same Talmud who was destined to be Rav Baruch Ber's son-in-law decided to switch yeshivas or whatnot, and he asked Rav Baruch Ber for a letter, a recommendation to the new yeshiva. It's a difficult situation. Rav Baruch Ber wrote him a letter. But before he handed it to the Talmud, he asked four or five different people if the letter captured the Talmud's positive qualities, or if Rav Baruch Ber allowed some of his hurt and his pain and his negative feelings to be manifested, to be presented, to somehow seep its way into the letter. I don't know the end of the story. It could be they had critiques for him and they fixed the letter. It could be he didn't. To be honest, that's not my point. When I first heard the story about Rav Baruch Ber, they spoke about his yashrus and his honesty and how he wanted to write a letter. He wanted to be 100% correct, and even though he was no gay, he wanted to be yashur and truth and emes. And to be fair, that's 100% correct. But I believe the more, at least to me, the more profound and more powerful message is the fact that he was fully aware he had Yetzirah, he just didn't want to come to it. He was fully aware he may be no gay b'davar. He was fully aware he was biased. He was fully aware he was pained. He was fully aware he was hurt. He was fully aware that his future son-in-law broke his daughter's heart. And that was painful for him. And he was nervous that he would allow that pain to come out in its and in the recommendation, which the Talmud didn't deserve anything negative to come through. And as much as I respect Baruch Ber's yashrus, as much as I respect it, I was more impressed, more blown away by the fact that he was totally honest and open and said, "You want to know what? It's completely normal to have a yetzer hara, to want to undermine someone who broke your daughter's heart. But it's just not the right thing to do, so I got to make sure. Have people check it to make sure I'm doing the right thing, to make sure it's coming across properly." Recognition that you have a Yetzer Hara is not childish. Recognition that you have a Yetzer Hara does not lack sophistication. just being sincere, it's just being honest, it's being genuine, it's being true. And therefore, once you recognize you have a Yetzirah, you recognize that we want to sin. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was saying, we want to view our friends' opinions more importantly and prioritize them over HaKadosh Baruch Hu's. Rav Baruch Meir was fully aware, I want to. I have a Yetzirah to. Part of me wants to, I should say. Mess over this Talmud who broke up with my daughter. I know it's wrong, so I'm going to overcome that Yetzirah, but I have a Yetzirah. You got to put yourself, you got to stack the deck in a way where you can be successful. Far too often, people claim, tell themselves, I'm successful, I've grown religiously, I'm as committed as I can be, what could get in my way? I'm as dedicated as I know how to be. I'm as dedicated, I'm as focused, I'm as committed as I've ever been. I have a real sense of shmiras ha-mitzvahs more than I've ever had in my life. And I know where I want to go to, so what could get in my way? And the answer is a very simple one. The Yetzirah. He's got what gets in the way. And I don't just mean the little devil guy who's like, hey, forget about God, right? Wink, wink. But that's the childish version of the Yetzirah. If anyone's interested in the great perspective of the Yetzirah, there's a book written by C.S. Lewis called Screwtape Letters. It's a fascinating book. It's a worthwhile read. If anyone has extra time in the bathroom, it's probably the best place to read it. But it's a fantastic read. He goes through different psychological understandings that people have based upon their Yetzirah. It's a brilliant, well-written, well-presented book. If anyone's interested in the details, I'll tell you afterwards, not for right now. But because we have a Yetzirah, we have to take measures against it. The Tariq, you mentioned a few days, yesterday, 2 days ago, story. It's a story that I like a lot. When the chief rabbi of England, Rabbi Dr. Lord Jonathan Sacks, met the Lubavitcher Rebbe, he said to him, I find myself, one thing was in Cambridge, I find myself busy, I have classes and courses in university and things to do. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe cut him off right on the spot and said, you don't find yourself busy. You don't find yourself in Cambridge. You didn't find yourself there. You put yourself there. And it's a very important mindset. It's a very important mentality. To put yourself in an environment where you can be successful. The yeshivish world is known very much for doing this well, successfully. And one could look at them and say, childish, shallow, superficial. And one could say, they stack the deck for their success. That's very wise. And from time to time, I may even mention this, but I guess this is still for some rights to them. Repeat things that you think are important for people to hear because they need to be heard, not just because they offer a chiddush, but because they offer insight, competitive insight. People leave yeshiva wondering, will I be successful or not? Let's see this summer. Right? Great mindset. No, I worked my hardest. I grew as best as I can. I worked on my this, I worked on my that, I worked on my Talmud Torah, I worked on my Midos, I worked on my okay, fine, I didn't wake up in chakras every day, but for the most part, I worked on a lot of things. Let's see how I do in the summer. It'll be a real test. I think it's a terrible mentality. The goal is not to test yourself. The goal is to ensure your success. Don't put yourself in an environment where you'll see if you'll do well. Put yourself in an environment where you're guaranteed to do well. Or at least as close to that as possible. Aye, but you might not know if you would have succumbed to the Severa. You'll have to live in, you know, in a black, dark, uneducated, curious world the rest of your life. But you want to know what? Theoretically, if you'd be doing some other Avera right now, right in the second, you don't know if you'd succumb to that Avera. Bechara, every second of your life, if you'd be in a terrible environment, you don't know what Averas you could have been doing. Some questions are better left unanswered. People sometimes feel it's childish to look at yourself as a person with the Yetzirah. Remember, as a child, someone once said to me, it's very childish. But I think there's a lot of depth to it nonetheless. Maybe not depth, but certainly importance. is that if you would just ask yourself that every decision you make, would a tzaddik do this, you'd live a much better life. Pasha, right? Wow. Major chiddush. There's a line in The Office. People ever watch The Office? A guy, Dwight, who's very funny. And Dwight says, at some point, somebody goes, the best advice someone ever gave me, they told me, before I do an act, ask yourself, would an idiot do this? And if the answer is yes, I will not do it. And the whole joke is like, really? Like, that's what, you know, that was the most profound thing I ever said to you? No one thinks it's untrue, it just thinks it's not profound. I guess the reverse. It's not particularly profound, it's particularly true. Ask yourself, how would a tzaddik go about living life? Supposedly, a Chafetz Chaim, every night before he went to sleep, would tell himself, Yisrael Meir, for one day tomorrow, one day, don't speak Lashon Hara. Control yourself for 24 hours. You want to speak Lashon Hara, let's worry about that 2 days from now. Talk to himself out loud. Yisrael Meir, for one day tomorrow, let's not get angry, let's control our emotions, let's control our anger. Sometimes we have, I know myself. Sometimes Yisrael Meir, I know myself, I have a tendency to get angry. I'm going to hold off for tomorrow. When I wake up, I'll remind myself again, and we'll go to sleep. You want to know what? You talk out loud, your roommate will probably giggle a little bit, you feel a little bit silly. You may even be a little bit childish, but you want to know what? The price you're paying, the trade-off is worth it. And not just in a childish way, could you recognize the Yetzer Hara, but in a very profound way. Rav Amital used to say, the Rosh Yeshiva of Gush Etzion, Nechatzar Kavrach, used to say, I know myself. I love another. And there's no second half of the part. There's no the explanation and why, and I don't really, it's sitkus of covet. He says, I just like it. I'm a natural human being. I like to be respected. I like to be honored. People like covet, and I'm a regular person. I have to watch my Yetzer Hara so I don't let it take advantage of me. I have to be very careful so that it doesn't control me. I can't do the wrong things in order to satiate and to satisfy my Yetzer Hara for covet, but I recognize that I have it. On one hand, it's so simple, on the other hand, it's so profound. I just want like covet also. Make sure that I don't live my life trying to just attain more of it. You got to do what's right because it's right, but I like it. Most people like to be respected. I don't know anyone who likes to be disrespected. So God made us, it's human nature. Why pretend that's not normal? Why pretend that's not who you are? Much more wise, much more efficient, much more constructive to recognize who you are and work with it, opposed to pretend you're something else. Sometimes the Yetzer Hara gets very profound and sophisticated himself. He disguises himself as intellectual honesty, disguises himself as sophistication. Those are good things. Just not when they're the Yetzer Hara. Sift through and figure out which is which. Sometimes people act in a way that creates a sense of behavioral self-preservation. I like what I do, I want to stick with it. Then you come to start justifying. There's a lot of things that you do that are great, stick with it. But now to fix the Yetzer Hara. Stack the deck in your own best interest. Put yourself in an environment where you're more likely to succeed. Don't find yourself in an environment where people are varyonim, or bali averos, or involved in averos. Don't put yourself in a bar, and don't put yourself in a place where everyone's speaking Lashon Hara, and don't put yourself in your girlfriend's couch at 1 in the morning when her parents are sleeping, in her bedroom or downstairs or wherever it is. And don't put yourself in a situation when you're up till 4 in the morning watching something on the internet because it's tough to wake up for Shacharis the next morning. Put yourself in an environment where you can be successful. Put yourself in a base medrash. Put yourself in a makom Torah. Put yourself in the right chevra. Put yourself in the right environment. Put yourself in a way where you can accomplish goals. Aaron was just speaking a few minutes ago about finishing things. You finish all the gemaras in Maui. 700, 800 daf. I'm not even sure. I was talking to Aaron when he was shut off. I'm going to embarrass you right now. If I do so, I'll be fine also. I remember he was telling me, he said, you know, one of the things that he really appreciates about, particularly Rabbi Tarrigan, Rabbi Tarrigan pushes him to finish Maseches he never thought he would finish. All his life he just saw himself as a regular person. But Dagon said, be better than be regular. Be super. And I was like, yeah, great idea. Maybe I'll try that. Put yourself in a mindset where you can be super. And if you think your reading skills aren't good enough to finish all the Maseftas, open up the art scroll. It's Benes Manim, you're supposed to have the art scroll. Put yourself in a context where you're teaching. Put yourself in a context for success. You may even consciously think about it. Where will I be most successful? Which environment? What do I have to do? What pulls the best out of me? Do I like to give? Do I like to learn? Do I like to be in a firm environment? Do I like to teach? Where can I be? I'll conclude with the nice part that one of the rebbes said, I don't remember which one it was, on the pasuk of Anshei Kodesh Tiyu, it's a pasuk in Shmos, in Parakav Ben, it's the Shvatim. Anshei Kodesh Tiyu Li, it's the Kutzker. I think it was the Kutzker. Pointed out, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants Anshei Kodesh. He made enough angels. He wants holy people. Not people who are pretending they're angels, not people who pretend they don't have Yetzirah, not people who are pretending they're above and beyond. People who know they're normal, but are aspiring for religious excellence. L'chora, the end of his man, the end of a year, you find yourself in a crossroad. You find yourself moving into the next stage of life, whether it's a summer stage of life, whether it's preparing for next year. Leaving yeshiva. Many different options, many different paths to go on. To constantly beat the Yetzer Hara requires constant battling. It's a little draining, it's tiring. Very often people would like to take it easy, not work so hard. I remember a Blachman from Cambry Avenue once being mercy. He said, you know, every time I do an Avera, I don't want to be reminded about it. I just want to do it. He was talking about when I get into my car and I start driving, the seatbelt's not on, I hear bing, 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 bing. I'm like, would you shut that noise off? Could you imagine every time I did Avera, there'd be bing, 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 bing? I don't like that. I want to be lazy. I want to take a day off from time to time. I need a good vacation. I need to sleep in here and there. To constantly beat the Yetzer Hara requires hard work. I'll say it in a more profound way for those people who think it's childish and lack profundity. To consistently be progressing forward emotionally, religiously, in terms of developing your spiritual religious persona, requires constant work. It requires constant hard work and constant environmental, stacking the deck, putting yourself in the right, you know, surroundings, avira. And sometimes, I feel like, wow, it's a long time, a lot of hard work. Long time fighting all my life. So on one hand, listen, you plan on davening shachris the rest of your life. That's a heck of a long time. Every day from here on out, it's a long time. Sometimes it's overwhelming even to me. Well, every single day I wake up and daven three times a day, it's a lot of time. It's, you know, every single Shabbos I plan on keeping for the rest of my life, it's a lot. Could be it's overwhelming and daunting. But you take it one day at a time in your life, the right mindset, it's a lot easier to be successful. But more than that, hopefully you value the results enough that it's worth the hard work. Hopefully you value the results of becoming a big Talmud Chacham that it's worth the fight and the environment and the constant struggle with the Yetzer Hara. Because you value becoming a big Talmud Chacham enough. Because you value davening shachris for the rest of your life enough. Because you value raising from children enough. Because you value making a positive influence on the world or on Klal Yisrael enough. Because you value serving a Kaddish Baruch Hu. I'm not going to lie or pretend and say Avodas Hashem is easy. I'll be 100% honest and say it's difficult, but it's worth it. It's worth it. What more would you rather leave your life with at 120 than to say you served HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You've lived the most meaningful life you can live. No one has written on their tombstone, you know, Harry lies here. He sure knew how to take a vacation. When you hear someone die, he was a good father, he was a good son, he was a good mother, she was a good mother, whatever. He was caring about this and took care of this organization and learned Torah and did this chesed. It's not just because the environment of death produces that type, generates that type of speech. It's because for some reason when people die, we start to think what's really important in life. And we come up with the right answers. It's just the hard work from day to day that gets in the way. And the harder the work is, the more it's worth. Although sometimes the harder the work is, the more you want to break. The more you want to break, the greater the philosophical questions build up. The greater the philosophical questions build up, the harder the work is. I'm not going to tell you life is not a challenge. I'm not going to tell you life is a breeze. You can learn to love it. You can learn to be passionate about it. You can learn to view it as a opportunity and not just a responsibility. You can learn to love your hard work. You can feel accomplished. You can feel on a sense of mission. You can feel you have direction. You found meaning. But it requires constant reiteration. The Yetzer Hara is constantly working. You got to make sure you put yourself in the right environment. You're constantly working. Maybe it's Hashem. We should all see a lot of Hatzlacha. Have a good Shabbos.